Number 2
on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
Nikki Bush is our human potential and parenting expert. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, Riffy Ware. How are you?
I am fantastic, despite a severe lack of sleep. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
All right, fantastic. Well, you know, with love in the air from Valentine's Day yesterday, we're going to pick up on the topic of, balancing me time, balancing your relationship as well as parenting, right? How do you get this thing right? Oh, we seem to have lost Nikki. If Kopana could just call her back and we can hear from her. Oh, carry on our conversation about how indeed we can balance me time, our relationships as well as parenting, because quite often, what happens, you have the little ones, 1, 2, 3 of them, and before you know it, life is all about school runs, drop-offs, Saturday games, galas, match fixtures, and everything becomes about the kids. Are they ready for school? Do they have enough of this? And the romance flies out of the window. So how in the world do we get it right? Maybe it's an opportunity for you to give me a call on 011-883-0702 and tell me what your own experience has been, right? Remembering and realizing that actually my whole life doesn't have to be wrapped up in meal preps and the kids and what they're doing and school, etc. But I have to remember that I'm also an individual, and there was mom or dad before there was the kids, and there was our relationship before there was the kids. How were you able to sort of remember that or awaken yourself to that realization and get your me time, your relationship, as well as your parenting back on track and in sort of in a healthy balance? Nikki, are we back online?
We are.
All right, fantastic. There we go. So, Nikki, exactly to that point of why do we tend to lose ourselves in parenting and being the best mom in the whole world and the best dad in the whole world as soon as we have the kids?
It's such an interesting question, because when we get together as a couple, we create and birth a new entity.
Yeah.
And when we then have children, we create another entity. And I think often we don't make that transition in our heads, but actually we've created something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always trying to get back to where we were.
Yeah.
And our expectations become really unrealistic, because you actually can't put the baby back and go back to where you were. You will never be that person again who doesn't have children.
Mm.
And the demands on you as an individual and as a couple, once you become parents, are extreme, especially if you work. And in most families, there's a two-income family. And it's just so easy to get lost in the demand. And we're biologically wired to nurture,
of course,
our children, to nurture our children. So that instinct kicks in, that the first person who gets the energy is the child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that means we have to become more consciously aware that if we don't find a way to fill our own emotional cup and refill our energy tank,
mm-hmm,
how do we keep giving and filling their tanks? And by the same token, if you're in a relationship, of course, how do we keep making that person feel important to us and loved? And of course, then we measure love by all the commercial values that are being marketed our way every 5 seconds, especially this week with Valentine's Day. In fact, every single day should be Valentine's Day, not just one day in the year. So that whole thing of what is love, love is just a series of continual congruent actions all point in the same direction. It's not really about the flowers and the teddy bears and the chocolate.
Yeah.
And I guess what's important over this kind of time is to use this opportunity to teach our kids about love. What is love and what isn't love?
Mm, mm.
And love also includes what you mentioned earlier, self-care.
Mm.
And taking time to create intentional white space, which when you have very small children is difficult to do in long periods of time. It's literally capturing maybe 15 or 20 minutes once a week to take yourself away from everybody, to have some silence, to maybe take yourself for a coffee date on your own. Because, as you know, there's a period of time as a parent where you have children in your bed, in your bathroom, in your face all the time.
Yeah. Latched onto the breast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe love between partners is ensuring that each of you once a week has the 15 or 20 minutes of alone time.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
That could be one way of showing your love. But also, there's so much to do in family life and running a home. And we actually do need to sweat the small stuff. We do need to realize that maybe the new form of flirtation in a committed relationship where you have children is that somebody's looking after the cars, making sure we pay our bills on time, sharing the chores. That is an expression of love and keeping it together.
Yep. I hear a whole chorus of partners going, absolutely, I'm here for that.
Yeah. You know, it's not hearts and roses. Relationships take time and they take commitment and they take work.
Yeah. And in many ways, Nikki, I think what you're also alluding to is knowing what, finding out, right, if you don't know what your partner's love language is, right? So you know that if Nikki prefers sort of actions and her love language is receiving gifts, maybe after we've had kids, her form of receiving gifts is no longer those flowers and roses. It is, in fact, what you just said, taking care of the practical stuff because she's busy breastfeeding the kid.
Yeah. And you know, if so those five love languages you've just highlighted are things like words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. So if you're a words person, and I'm a words person, just talk to me. Conversation is great.
Yeah.
And of course, affirmation through conversation is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Acts of service. You know, my husband just needed to change the light bulbs, and that was love.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed to cook meals, and that was love for him.
Yeah.
Quality time. That's an interesting one because that's the really challenging one. I think quality time and physical touch in relationships where there are children and time is in short supply are the most difficult ones to actually convey to each other.
Mm.
So we have to re-look at what is quality time. You've got to work with what is. So quality time might be time spent in the car when there's nothing else to do. And in fact, we need to use that time with our children as well.
Yeah.
So quality time with your children is also in short supply if you work. So you've got to use time in the car, time around the dinner table, and time maybe when you're bathing them.
Mm.
Or if you have a baby, well, you're changing a baby. Do you know that you will do about 5,000 nappy changes in a child's life?
Yeah.
And every single nappy change is an opportunity to have a conversation with your child, to talk them clever and to convey that you love them. So actually reframing what has to be done anyway can create a loving environment, an act of love.
Yeah.
And then the last two are there's gifts, because some people feel loved with gifts. Other people, it doesn't matter at all if you don't give them a gift as long as you talk to them.
Yeah.
So, as you say, understanding what is it for that person, whether it's your child or whether it's your spouse or partner, what will make them feel loved? And if you speak into that love language, they feel loved.
Yeah.
And for each person in your family, their primary and secondary love languages will be slightly different. And then, you know, the physical touch side of things, we're sold, obviously, that sex is love.
Mm.
When you have children, especially small children, that is in short supply.
Mm.
So maybe it's not as much about the sex, but appreciating long hugs and long kisses.
Yeah.
So for a time, things have to change. So I guess it's about being emotionally resilient and awake to the fact that love will morph and change like the tide as your family develops, because you have differing amounts of time together, differing amounts of privacy, different demands. And so we have to be very prepared to reinvent our romantic and marital relationships all over again. Just think about the first child arrives. you have to reinvent. Otherwise, you'll constantly be wishing for what you can't have, which is what happened before the child arrived. Then a second child arrived. You know, you actually have to reinvent your family entity and your romantic relationship with your partner all over again.
Yeah.
Nothing is static, and I guess that is the nature of the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that our pictures change. If we keep trying to hold on to an old picture, we will keep being disappointed, and then what happens is that resentment kicks in.
Yeah.
And resentment is hugely poisonous in relationships. Now you just think about family situations where there's lack of sleep, and often what happens is lack of sleep is mistaken for resentment.
Yeah.
Even hunger can be mistaken for anger.
Yeah.
And resentment and burnout are an absolute recipe for disaster. So I guess that question is, what is it that I do that makes you feel loved?
Yeah, I like that question.
Finding out and knowing what it is for that person in your life. Because if you know that, you can speak into their love language so that they actually do feel loved.
Now, Nikki, let's talk about why children need to actually see their parents. Why kids need to see you prioritizing your relationship with your spouse or partners. What does that do for the children?
Well, I guess in this day of throwaway love, because our children are very, very used to seeing that love doesn't last, they're surrounded by divorce and breakups. It's really part of their reality. So if you can show your children how important your relationship is, they will feel safe and secure because actually your relationship provides the container for the family.
Mm.
And we need to nurture that container so that our children feel safe and secure.
Mm.
And I think we often forget that because we're so into I and me that we forget that the we that we create in family life is your child's first experience of a team and being part of a team. So, you know, it's easy to prioritize our children and we forget to prioritize the relationship. But all the research indicates that we should actually be feeding and nurturing our relationship. And our children must know they come second to our relationship, that our relationship is really important.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, Nikki, is you often, or one would not think to or to expect that kids are aware of parents' relationships or are aware of how relationships can end or crumble. But I recently had a really interesting interaction with a group of 7-year-olds, kids in grade 2, who were discussing exactly that, how so-and-so's parents are no longer together, how so-and-so's parents are getting a divorce. And what I walked in on was a discussion about whether any of the ones whose parents were still together thought that parents might get a divorce. And I thought to myself, my goodness, the level at which these kids are sort of operating is definitely much higher than I expected. But for kids to be having these conversations, intensely deep, really, really heartbreaking, but also very realistic. So I think in many ways, for a child to know that you do actually prioritize your relationship is fundamental, like you're saying, because it's not as though they don't go to school and interact with children who have got very different family setups.
100%. So, yes, I mean, you can sit in a room with parents and obviously with, you know, a lot of the talks that I do. We have so many different variations of what family looks like today. And it could be same gender family. It could be a blended family where two families have come together who've been in other relationships before. So I guess the whole concept of love needs to be discussed in its many dimensions with our children, from respect versus disrespect, from honor to dishonor, trust versus distrust, unconditional love versus conditional love. What about sex and love? Love and violence, love and support. And I think there's this thing around consistency and commitment that needs to be discussed. You know, you're not always head over heels in love. Because love is more than just a feeling. It, as I said at the beginning, it's this whole series of actions that makes you feel contained and makes you feel content. And I think there's so much focus on the highs and lows of love that we forget the middle ground. And I guess what we should be looking for is that middle ground of contentment and feeling contained by our relationship. And if we are single parents, which actually the majority of children are growing up in single parent households,
yes,
we need to ensure that that feeling of contentment and commitment to creating that container that holds the family, even if you are a single parent, is that there's this word we.
Mm-hmm.
And we own our family, whatever our family structure, gender, size or shape, that we own this entity and we talk about in our family, we.
Mm-hmm.
We do, we say, we feel, because that's ownership of this space and this entity that we've created. So, yes, love can be really complicated, but so simple at the same time.
100%,
Don't forget that children are very concrete learners. So they learn through real. It's not just a concept. They experience real in the family setting, which is why those children you were talking about, those seven-year-olds, could talk with such depth about their experience of family breakups and divorces, and why even children who come from families where their parents are together are watching how many divorces are happening and wondering when it's going to happen to their parents, because it's part of the marinade that they live with. So I think it's very important to have discussions about love with our children and engage them in conversations. And that's why, for me, Valentine's Day is just lots of commercial babble. And I do think that it's just a lovely way, a lovely time of the year to spend time together as family, to maybe have, here's a nice little thing to do with your children, and it doesn't have to be done on Valentine's Day. Make love fans and have them at the dinner table.
Yeah.
So take A4 pieces of paper, fold them up into a fan with four or five segments, and this is obviously for children who can write, and you put your name on the top of the fan, and you pass the fans around the table, and every member of the family writes on a section of the fan, of that person's fan, I love you because.
Oh, that's lovely.
And dot, dot, dot. And I think we need to be finding lots of reasons to love each other. Not just because we fell in love when we were 20.
Yeah. Let's update that list.
There are many more reasons to continue loving each other over time, and just understanding that love grows, love changes. And I think so many breakups happen because we don't morph and change and develop and grow and change the way we love each other and accept that love changes as time goes on. We're still looking for and searching for that feeling of when we first met.
Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. We are always focusing on the highs, unfortunately. Nikki, in the toy feature today, you are focusing on a classic game that if every family doesn't have this, then I don't know what to tell you except to run out and get it now. The kids will thank you for it.
So yes, absolutely. So touching on the fact that we're talking about love and connection, please don't forget that play is a love language.
So important.
And if you play with your children, they will feel loved.
Yeah.
And play is such a wonderful connector. Even when we're fighting with a child or fighting with our spouse, if we commit to playing games in our family, it breaks down barriers and it speaks another language that is not words. So Uno is... it is like the classic throwaway card game. And it's a race to get rid of all of your cards.
Yeah.
You start with seven cards each. And as you throw a card away, you're matching a number or matching a color. And there are action cards as well. So when you get down to your final card, you have to remember to shout Uno.
Yeah.
Because in the next round, you may go out. And if you've forgotten to shout Uno, then you can't go out in the next round.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fast-paced. It's a quick game for our time-starved families. And it's going to be such a huge connector. And it's only 115 Rand. And being a card game, it is portable. You can take it anywhere. Take it to a restaurant, take it on holiday with you. It's one of those games that you can have a quick game with your kids in between homework sessions, or maybe at the dinner table after you've had dinner. Why not have a quick game of Uno and really get everybody on the same page, get them laughing, get them competing, get them playing, get them learning. There isn't a better way to show you love each other than to play a game. So Uno is available in every toy store or on takealot.com. 115 Rand. Go and invest in a game to show that you love each other.
Having said that, Nikki, no two games can be as divisive in a family at a family meetup like 30 seconds and Uno. I have learnt this Christmas the hard way not to even bother playing against my nephew, okay? Because you'll be left bitter and resentful. I love the game.
Well, you see, games can bring out very different sides of people.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, I've had game evenings with families, and there's, You'll know a mother from school who's quite demure in the parking lot or next to the swimming pool. But put her in a family game scenario and she's the most competitive person.
Absolutely
so
love it.
It's a wonderful way to learn about each other is to play a game. You know, sometimes you've got to get beyond the words. The actions and the interactions tell us so much more than the words possibly can.
Fantastic stuff. Nikki Bush, we're going to leave it right there. Catch up with you next week.